This gospel is one of those that people have struggled with pretty much since the time of our Lord. And it contains a question that has been commonly asked throughout that time. Lord, will only a few people be saved? Now, the one who is asking this question is kind of asking to see if there's a maximum occupancy for heaven. You know, you go to a public place in a big city, and they have those signs that the fire department puts up, maximum occupancy. How many people can safely be in that room in case there's an emergency? Well, that's kind of what the question is. How many people is God going to let in before he shuts the door to heaven? You know, he wants a number. He wants a percentage. Maybe he just wants a general idea, a few, many, some, none. You know, just kind of general. Even though that question has been asked since then many times, and it is an important question to think about, our Lord doesn't answer that question. Instead, he answers a far more important question. How do we be saved? How do we enter into heaven? What do we need to do to get into heaven? And his response is, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. So he tells us how to do it. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. He's telling us that our salvation is an ongoing, conscious effort on our part to enter into that narrow gate, to achieve that salvation we desire. It's not a one-time event, which is so popular of a view in this day and age, especially in this country, that all you have to do is a one-time thing and you're good to go. Or as someone put it, that their bags were packed for heaven. Now, that might work for a jet plane, but that doesn't work for heaven. We can't assume that our salvation is guaranteed. Now, as I said, this is a very popular view. Earlier this week, I saw a promo video for a reality TV show that's supposed to be coming up, The Pastors of Los Angeles. And these are a group of pastors who are, they're mega church pastors, Protestant pastors in Los Angeles. So they have these big churches, these large congregations, lots of money, lots of big houses, lots of cars, the whole works. In one of the scenes, you see one of these pastors somewhere in a street corner, somewhere in Los Angeles, and he's leading a gentleman in the sinner's prayer. If you're not familiar with the sinner's prayer, it's very common in Protestant circles, of a way of really taking faith on your own. They call it accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, what it is accepting the Christian faith as your own, something which we all should do. We should all take on the Christian faith as something that is important to us. The problem is, at the end of this sinner's prayer, the pastor leads this gentleman in saying, "And I have been saved." Well, the problem with that statement is it's contrary to the gospel today. It's contrary to our Lord's own words in the gospel today. Because our Lord tells us that not everyone who claims to be a Christian will be saved. And we see that in the parable of the master of the house who locks the gate. There are those who are outside the gate after it's been locked and they want to come in. They say, "We ate and drank in your company. And you taught in our streets." In other words, you know us, we know you. Let us in. Our Lord says in response, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers." In other words, I don't know you. You may have been in my presence. You may have been around me. But I never got to know you. To put the parable in more contemporary context, we would say, "Well, I went to Mass and heard your scriptures." But that doesn't mean that we know our Lord and our Lord knows us. We must not allow our human pride to trap us in the lie that we are already perfected while here on earth and that we are ready to go to heaven. This idea that my bags are packed or I have been saved. To be saved, we must strive throughout our lives to enter into that narrow gate. Salvation, as I said before, is a conscious effort. It is something that we desire and we strive towards throughout our lives. We also strive to eliminate all that is within us that is contrary to God's will. Now again, this is a conscious effort. This is not something we do under our own power, but through the grace of God. But we must cooperate in that grace. We must cooperate in that salvation. Now as our Lord tells us, He gives us a warning at the end. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Now, I say this is a warning. Many people mistake this for our Lord saying, well, there's only a few that are going to make it into heaven. He does say that in another place, but that's not what he's saying here. You know, this is where people are looking for the maximum occupancy of heaven. Oh, our Lord says only a few are going to make it. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's doing here is he's warning us that we must avoid our human passions. He's warning us that many will follow our human passions and our human desires. These passions and desires pull us away from God, not towards God, but away from Him. They cause us to override our desire for salvation. We allow these passions to override that desire, which means we will reject the salvation that our Lord promises us. This is why I say it's not maximum occupancy, but it's we decide not to enter into salvation. Because when we follow these human passions, these human desires, we end up only wanting that which gives us fleeting pleasure, fleeting happiness. You know, it's here 1 minute and gone the next. So then we have to find the next item that's here one minute and gone the next. We do that, and we end up rejecting the self-sacrifice, which is so necessary to enter into that eternal, lasting joy that our Lord wants to give us. What our Lord is doing is calling us to fight against these passions, to fight against our human pride, to fight against anything within us that is contrary to God's will, and to strive always for His salvation. And of course, we know this call is not only to strive for our salvation, but the salvation of those around us. So as Christians, let us answer that call. Let us hear that call to strive to enter through the narrow gate and so desire that lasting joy that we will receive in eternity.